أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين وعلى أصحابه المنتجبين أما بعد قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. Respectable audience, distinguished listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Let me begin the session by having a revision from the private session that what was said. In the private session, it was said that we have to make inquiries about religion. We have to investigate about the two religion. So the need and significance of inquiring into religion was addressed in the previous session. And we made some arguments in this regard. Firstly, it was told that there is a close and serious relationship between one's interest in his research about religion. It is not a matter of wasting time, energy, inquiring religion. For this, that religion addresses our fundamental questions. So the second argument we made about the necessity and significance of inquiring into religion was that religion is the only source and the only authoritative and valid source that can provide us answers for our basic questions. Where we have come from, why we have come in this world, and eventually where would we go. So religion being the only source addressing all these fundamental questions indeed is something valid, something that we have to go and we have to invest. Another argument we made in favor of inquiring into religion was the intrinsic and natural desire and drive of the human being to seek the truth. The human beings have been given this talent, have been given this desire and drive that they should go seeking the truth. Another argument that we made that religion has many functions. In one of those functions that we have addressed in the previous session, that was commitment and responsiveness. A faithful, seeing Almighty Allah in his every part and parcels of life, sees Almighty Allah better and feels his existence deeper than a place. So religion can be a very good sanction, a very good guarantee for the application of all ethical and social codes or ethical and social norms. So the last argument that we have finished our topic and our debate with was the development of thought and rationality through religion. Religions and the prophets, particularly the divine prophets, come and are being sent that they have to develop rationality amongst the people. The people should not be the slave of some superstitious beliefs, some superstitious rites and customs. Their hands, their minds that have been fastened and have been knotted by different knots of superstitious beliefs, they should be freed. This was a summary of the previous session we have delivered for our dear viewers and listeners. So, God willing, today we will be discussing about the next functionalities of the religion, that for these functionalities we have to go and we have to pursue and we have to take our, we should take time and make time that we have to go towards religion. One of those fundamental questions, as it was previously mentioned, that where we have come from, why we have come in this world, and finally where we go, was this: that are the human beings composed of only materialistic components, or they are having some dichotomous existence and entity? For sure, they are made up of soul, spirit and physic. So to address their spiritual entity, indeed religious values and norms and orders, that will be very much beneficial and significant. So another functionality of the religion is that religion gives meaning to life. Religion makes life or everyone's life meaningful. How? Let's have the argument. The argument is that since a faithful person or faithful people have this brilliant outlook and worldview that Almighty Allah exists and the whole world and cosmos is under His supervision and are under His management, of course there is a very significant end for this life. He who does not maintain a religious understanding of the universe, for sure sometimes they do not have a meaningful life. Why? Because their worldview is not arranged in a well-ordered manner. So to have well-organized worldview and outlook, for sure there should be an origin, I mean there should be a source, a mabda, and there should be an ending or ma'ad, or the end. Otherwise, the human beings will be in the ocean, in the midst of the ocean of wandering and bewilderment. In order to have those questions answered, religion was needed. And to have a meaningful life, again, religion is required. For this, that religion gives the response of those fundamental questions. Since religion prepares the answers and responses of those fundamental questions, of course, the religious-minded people's life will be more meaningful than those who do not believe, than those atheists. You know that there are some nihilist approach in this world, that the world does not have real existence. And extremely, they are pessimist about the world, about the events that occur in this world. Why? Because they do not believe that there is a merciful or the most merciful creator behind this world, behind this cosmos. He who does not believe that a rational agent is behind this world, of course, his life is meaningless. Actually, he does not have any pretext or pretense to live in this world, for he does not believe that there is a rational agent supervising all his deeds and all his actions. But a faithful person, believing that there is the most merciful creator supervising and seeing all what he does in his daily life, of course, he is delighted that he is seen by Almighty Allah. And eventually he will be given the reward of all what he had suffered in this world. So given this perspective, religious life is very much meaningful. It means religion gives meaning to life. One of the most challenging and controversial topic and debates right now in the West, even in all the world, is the question of meaningfulness of the life. Sometimes the question arises that what ends must one realize to make his life meaningful? Or what are those utopian status that one has to reach so that his life should be meaningful? So these questions are extremely important or are extremely of high significance. But a religious man believes that, of course, he has been created by Almighty Allah. He has to abide by the commandments of Almighty Allah in this world. And then, finally, Almighty Allah is the just who would give his reward. Even if he is to be given chastisement, if he is going to be given some punishment again, since he is just, Almighty Allah is just, Almighty Allah is the most merciful, all-knowing, all-wise, he does nothing out of some, we can say, pleasure. Almighty Allah is always. Almighty Allah is all aware of what we do. And of course, given these actions that we have done in this world, Almighty Allah would recompense it. So according to a religious-minded person, fulfilling God's pleasure, fulfilling God's will is the sole source that can give meaning to his life. This is what we have presented in this time, that another characteristic, another important function that religion has, that is giving meaning to life. So meaningfulness of life can be grounded through religious outlook and worldview. Another important characteristic that a religious-minded person has, that is that religion give him speed and motivation. He can be inspired, he can be motivated through religious do's and don'ts. For there are significantly important values for he who believes in Almighty Allah, and there are extremely praiseworthy rewards awaiting for him in the paradise. So a religious-minded person believes and says that why I should miss all these strikingly remarkable rewards. Even sometimes he brings this argument for himself that I can bear this life in any manner, but how should I do with those eternal chastisement, God forbid, if Almighty Allah gives me for my misbehaviors in this world? So in this calculation, also he comes to this conclusion that of course I can bear the sufferings of this worldly and temporal world or this worldly life, but I am not able to bear and to tolerate, of course, those bitter chastisements. Actually, he will be motivated acting according to the Islamic and according to a religious commandment. So religious-minded person, since he believes that Almighty Allah witnesses all his actions, he is motivated. He is more motivated than he who sees no one supervising or witnessing his actions. That makes a very big difference between a religious-minded person's life and an atheist life. So motivation is another functionality or another function of the religion that can be taken into consideration. It might be a bit sooner that we have to talk about the motivation that the Muslims were motivated due to their religious principles, because we are in the first primary steps that we have to prove the necessity of inquiring about religion. But again, there are slogans, there are mottos in Islam that encourage. There are slogans that encourage the Muslims that they have to go and they have to be quick in doing good deeds. For example, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Such mottos are here in this religion. And I'm sure that even in Christianity and Judaism and the rest of the worldly religions, of course, such kind of commandments are there that motivate and encourage the people that they have to do their best. They have to fulfill those best actions. So religions have always played significant part and role in motivating the people towards doing good deeds. So this is another important function of the religion. Another important point that we have to make it clear in this lecture or in this speech or in this lesson, that is that what are the sources of fundamentals of beliefs? What are those sources that these fundamentals of principles can be derived? Principles of religion or fundamentals of the religion can be drawn and can be derived from some three important sources. The first is intellect or reasoning. You know, there might be some very, very controversial discussions about the relation between reason and religion. We are not going to treat this topic right now. But as a preliminary step, it should be made clear in our sessions, in our lessons, that we believe that there is a close relationship between reason and religion. There is no incompatibility. There is no contradiction. There is no conflict between religion and reason. Though this topic has been tackled differently or in a different manner in the West, because there are many problems in their holy scriptures, there are many problems in the propositions their holy scriptures contain. But since we believe that the Holy Quran is another fundamental source of deriving all these fundamentals of religion, we believe that the Holy Quran is infallible. It does not contain some contradictory propositions. And it does not contain anything that should counter with our reason. There are three important sources that our principles of religion can be drawn. The first is our rational understanding, our demonstrative reasoning. Almighty Allah and the religion endorses making use of rationality, making use of our reasoning, our demonstrative reasoning, our intellect. Making use of intellect makes us prosperous. It grants our prosperity, our felicity, our happy life. While to ignore this disposition Almighty Allah has granted to us, of course it deprives us, if we do not use, it would deprive us from all good solutions. We would be deprived of our worldly prosperity and also in the life hereafter. Making use of demonstrative reasoning, making use of intellect is something, a praiseworthy task that we have to do. So it should be kept in mind, there are some propositions that our intellect, our reasoning cannot understand it, cannot grasp it fully. In such cases, we should not necessarily issue the verdict that it is something irrational. No, there are some propositions that stand beyond our understanding, beyond our rational understanding. In those places, we should say that right now, I do not know. But it does not necessarily mean that, of course, it is against our rational understanding. Sometimes the people might commit this mistake, that if they could not grasp something fully, so it does not mean that it is something irrational. No, sometimes he is not fully aware of the secrets, he is not fully aware of the reasons, he is not fully aware of the wisdoms behind this matter. But it does not mean that it is irrational. This is first. Secondly, the revelation we have, of course, it is another main source of our fundamental principles of religion. In the holy book the Muslims believe in, I mean the Quran, there are hints, there are indications that the faithful people should believe in monotheism. They should not associate others with Almighty Allah. They should believe and maintain firmly in Resurrection Day, in the life hereafter. So all these indications or hints or tips that Almighty Allah gives us, it makes it clear that revelation, I mean the Holy Quran, is another important source of our fundamentals of religion. So now the question comes that what is the relation between religion, reason, and science? Because you might have heard that some have claimed that there are some contradictions between reason and religion. Sometimes religion says that you have to submit it, while our reason, our intellect says that you should deny it totally. According to the Muslim scholars' views, we believe that there is no contradiction between reason and religion, for both are coming from Almighty Allah. You know that religion is something that Almighty Allah has legislated the rules and regulations through the Holy Quran for us. So it seems a bit unacceptable from a wise creator that he has to send us some two contradictory versions of his legislation. Of course, it is not acceptable that Almighty Allah should send us some two contradictory propositions. We do not believe that there is a single case that Almighty Allah's revelation, I mean the Word of God, should contradict with the natural phenomena, with the existential being. So in the Islamic literature, we have two terminologies or expressions that is called tashri' or legislation, and takween, which means existential being or nature. We believe that both are created by Almighty Allah. Since Almighty Allah is all wise, of course, it does not mean that Almighty Allah should send us some two contradictory versions of his legislations. So how to do, or the question might arise, there are some cases that might appear that there is contradiction. The solution for solving all these seemingly contradictions are many, including this. That firstly, we have to revise our understanding from the revelation. So the commentators might not have understood correctly the revelation. They might have misinterpreted those verses of the Holy Quran. So it might happen. And of course, every commentator is prone to such errors. We do not believe that all commentators who have interpreted the Holy Quran, they are all infallible. No, they are, were, and will be prone to errors. And we have to be careful not to accept those erroneous cases that they have created or they have interpreted. This is first. Second solution for solving this seemingly contradiction between reason and religion is that a scientific hypothesis might not have reached to its certainty. It is in the position of being a hypothesis, being a guess. So firstly, it should be made sure, or we have to make it sure that it is a scientific fact. At that time, we can talk about it as contradiction with revelation or not. If it is still in the position of it is being hypothesis or hypothesis, of course, it does not have any authority, it does not have any validity that we have to compare it with our revelation or our divinely revealed book. We have to make it sure that those premises which constitute the scientific fact, they should be true. They should be logical. They should be rational. Otherwise, if those premises which constitute the fact, if they are wrong, so of course we cannot draw this conclusion that there is a striking conflict between reason and religion. So that makes a huge difference between the relationship between science and revelation, or reason and religion. To summarize what we have said in this particular session, we see that there are strong arguments that favor our pursuit of religion, that favors our investigation of the religion. We have to go towards true religion. It is not a matter of wasting our time, energy, property, money, inquiring into religion. As it was said, there are strong arguments behind this claim. So what we have presented for our dear viewers and listeners in this session was this, that another important functionality of the religion is that religion gives meaning to everyone's life. Everybody, he who believes a monotheistic belief, of course, his life is full of meaning. The time he is given birth, the time he is born, till the time he is buried, all what he does would be recorded by Almighty Allah. All would be rewarded. So he says that I'm responsible. He feels such kind of heavy responsibility on his shoulder that I should do what pleases Almighty Allah. I should do those works that guarantees and ensures my Lord's pleasure. So that is what makes life meaningful for him. So the question of meaningfulness is a very important question that was touched briefly in the session, though it is a very vast topic, that voluminous books have been written on the very question that what ends a person should realize that should make his life meaningful. Secondly, religious outlook and worldview is an organized worldview. It opposes the nihilistic worldview and approach that nothing in this world has real existence. In order not to be pessimist and be optimist, of course, a person should be believing in the most merciful Lord, Almighty Allah. Another important view that we have touched in this session was this, that religion motivates us towards doing the best deeds, for everything is under the view of Almighty Allah. So the final points we made, they were clear. That was that what are the sources of these fundamentals of religion? We said that there are some three important sources for our fundamentals of religion. The first was our own and rational understanding, our intellect, our reason. So Almighty Allah does not rebuke us using our ration, our intellect. Secondly, the Holy Quran or the revelation is another important source. And the third is our Holy Prophet's conduct and way of life in his sayings. So, and also we touched another important point, that was the relationship between reason and religion and scientific discoveries. We made it clear that there is no contradiction and conflict between reason and religion. Those who have put forward such topics, their religion might not be true, or they have some misunderstandings from the scientific hypotheses and from scientific discoveries. To solve these seemingly contradictions, we put forth some two solutions. The first was that we have to reconsider our commentators' reading of the Holy Quran, reading of or interpretation of the holy verses. Sometimes they might have misunderstood. So we should not say that it is their understanding of the holy verse of the Quran, it is something that Islam recommends. No, their errors must be amended. The second solution we gave, that was that sometimes the premises which constitute a scientific fact, they are either untrue or they are in the position of being a hypothesis. If they are not well established, if they are not made scientifically correct, so we should not say and we should not compare it with a divinely revealed book. So may God bless us all and you to understand and to fully comprehend the real message the divinely revealed religions give us, and we have to follow them. And of course, these were the arguments we made, that it was that we have to go and search for a true religion. We would not invest on something trivial. Rather, the investment we make that is praiseworthy, and of course, the religion prepares and provides us those answers which makes the life meaningful. May God bless us all. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.